I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about immigration. We're going to discuss the challenges immigrants have in adapting to a new country, a new city, and a new culture, and the challenges residents of Central Indiana might have in adapting to these new arrivals. My guests will be Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson, both of whom are from the Immigrant Welcome Center, and of course, you. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We look forward to talking with you. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants. You can join the program by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits at WFYI.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are both from the Immigrant Welcome Center. They are welcome back to the program, Terry Morris Downs. It's good to have you back here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And a newcomer, Sarah Johnson, this is your first time here in the studio. It's good to have you here.
Yes, thank you, Ann, for having us today.
Certainly. Well, part of the premise of this show is obviously you got a big event next week, the Welcome Indiana Week, Welcoming Indianapolis Week. Could you talk a little bit about that? I'm gathering you're the go-to person on this, Sarah, so I'll throw those questions. Could you talk a little bit about what the week is, and then maybe we can walk through some of the events?
Absolutely. So Welcoming Week's actually happening nationwide, so over at least 20 cities and states will be having events between September 15th and September 22nd, which is National Welcoming Week. Here in Indianapolis, we'll actually be
How old is National Welcoming Week?
2 years old.
2 years old.
And
so
this
it's just a baby.
Yep. And this is our first year in Indianapolis.
Okay. And what was the premise, the reason for Welcoming Week?
Welcoming America, which is the national program that Welcoming Indianapolis is an affiliate of, they decided that it would be a good way to celebrate nationwide, giving the opportunity for people to come together and have events for native-born and foreign-born to serve together, volunteer together, and just kind of come together.
Okay. And what sorts of things will we be doing here in the city during Welcoming Week?
A whole lot of things. So we have over 20 events currently taking place during the week, from our official Welcoming Indianapolis program launch at the Sister Cities Festival, where the mayor will be speaking, to a picnic at Indy Urban Acres, where people can just come and enjoy some international food and listen to some different bands.
Now, is there a cost to this, Terry, to being part of it, or can?
No, I think all events are free and open to the public, and you can get the full schedule of activities on our website at www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org.
Well, and you say more than 20 events. Do any of them require kind of a pre-registration, or, you know, even if there's no cost, reserving a space or anything like that, they should do that through the website?
Yes, they should, or contacting Sarah directly. It's always nice to know how many people, and some are limited in the number of spaces available.
Okay, well, how about if we go back to Sarah real quickly here. Sarah, could you give that URL again, the web address, because often people don't immediately have a pencil ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
much as I wish they would just sit here by the radio and listen to me talk and write down everything. They don't do that. So.
Yeah, it's www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org. And the events are all listed there, and it says which ones require registration beforehand.
And if people want to call you, that they don't have either access to a computer or whatever, how should they go about doing that?
Yes, and I would love to talk to you. My office number is 317-223-0933.
Better give that to them again, too.
317-223-0933.
Okay. What, you know, this is kind of an overarching question, but I'm going to throw this one to Terry. You know, what defines success for a week like this? I mean, what, you know, in terms of doing it, what are the benchmarks, the things that you say, okay, that was worth doing then?
Engaging a wide range of residents of Indianapolis who are open to learning about new and different cultures. It's not only those born and raised in the United States, but we're also appealing to many immigrants and refugees to come and learn about Indiana's history and traditions. And so we have... Pardon me, we've also incorporated many of those events so that it is reciprocal in cultures and people from different cultures getting to know one another.
What are some of the events that, are, that sound like a kind of cultural exchange where you're, you know, you're sharing insights about each other's backgrounds and cultures? What are some of the events that are targeted specifically for that?
We are very excited about the Lunch and Learn series that we've put together with some of the volunteers of the Immigrant Welcome Center that we call Natural Helpers. And our Natural Helpers are immigrants who help other newcomers from that particular culture or speak that language. So we have several of our Natural Helpers who are doing Lunch and Learn series at several of the Indianapolis Public Library branches to help people better understand the culture of Burma, specifically the Chin population that who live on the south side in the Perry Township and Southport area. Latin America we'll be discussing out in Hawville. We have India being discussed on the at the college library. And the last one is in Africa. And we have two of our African Natural Helpers who will be at the Pike Library next week.
How did you choose those, Sarah? How did you choose those cultures to focus as opposed to, you know, the world's a big place. There are a lot of options. And I realize during the course of a week, you've only got five lunch opportunities. Right. But how did you go about narrowing them down? What were the criteria?
Well, especially with the Burmese, Indianapolis kind of has we have the largest Chin population. We definitely wanted to focus on that since there are a lot of Chin in the Southport area, and a lot of people don't really know who they are, what they're doing, or even where Burma is.
You say the largest Chin population in the United States?
Yes, so not the largest Burmese population, but the largest Chin population.
What accounts for that? I'm sorry, I'm taking myself off of my own line of questioning here, but that intrigues me. What accounts for that? I mean, normally Indiana, you don't think of it, and it's not a knock on Indianapolis, you often don't think of inland cities particularly as specific immigration destinations.
Well, the Chin population started to be resettled here through the U.S. State Department and through our two resettlement agencies, Catholic Charities Indianapolis and Exodus Refugee Immigration, back in the late 1990s, and they have very successfully integrated into the community, being here some for 10 years or more. Many are, you know, sending their children to college, buying homes, starting businesses, and with the success and all of the community supports in the Southport and Perry Township area, it became a magnet for other Chin-speaking Burmese refugees, especially in the Fort Wayne area, to also move to Indianapolis, which is known as secondary migration. So the population numbers just completely burgeoned in the past 10 years.
How large a number are we talking about?
It's difficult to know, but according to the census, there were about 8,000, but many people believe there's more than 10,000.
So basically the size of a small town.
Right.
Here.
here in Marion County.
That other than a few folks, no one seems to be aware of. That's interesting. That's fascinating. But anyhow, I diverted you from my original question, which is, how do we go about selecting these cultures? And before you answer that, I should say, if you're listening to this program and you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. So anyhow, how did you go about picking the Chin population? Now we know about to some degree because it is this sort of undiscovered secret. What are the other, why the other choices?
Yeah, so with the Latin American population and Indian population, African and Russian, we generally have pretty large populations of all of those in Indianapolis, and they're also well represented with our natural helper program. So we thought that it would be a great opportunity for our natural helpers to tell their stories, and also for people to learn about the cultures that are represented pretty largely here in the city.
In terms of putting this together, I mean, are there people involved other than the natural helpers and the folks from the Immigrant Center, or who else is going to be part of this week-long calendar of activities? I'll throw that one. Sarah, I'll go with you.
Okay. So we have teamed up with actually the city of Indianapolis is involved with the mayor's office. We are working with the Central Library. They're offering a free City of Immigrants book, which is about Indianapolis being a city of immigrants. And with that comes a free ticket to the exhibits at the Indiana History Center. So we're working with them. And Franklin College is actually having an event on the 15th to talk about, have a panel of refugees, and they're going to tell their stories. Obviously, the library for all of the Lunch and Learn events. The Nationalities Council, and, well, there are a whole lot of them. The Peace Learning Center and their Focus 2020 program will also be having a workshop that week to talk about having being a welcoming and inclusive community.
Well, and I probably should. How are you paying for all of this? I mean, there's a lot of activity here, and as far as I can tell, you're not charging anybody to come to it. So somebody's got to be paying the bills. Who's doing that, Sarah?
Yeah. So. Well, of course, I'm putting a lot of it together, so that's, I guess, free work, so to speak. But then also we are being sponsored for the week by the International Center, and along with that is the Indianapolis Foundation and the DeHaan Family Foundation, and then also Key Bank and the Clues Fund.
Are the primary sponsors?
Yeah.
Our major sponsors are the Clues Fund and Welcoming America.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, you said that you're doing a lot of the work and putting all of this together. Is this a volunteer activity for you?
No, so I'm an AmeriCorps member, actually.
You're an AmeriCorps member. Okay. Why the passion for this area by you?
Well, it's a big area of need in Indianapolis, and I find it... Well, it's a lot of fun to be working with the native-born and the foreign-born, and I've discovered a lot of Indianapolis that I didn't know existed before.
Such as?
Like Saraga, the international marketplace, I guess you could call it, that I'd never been in before until I started working with the Immigrant Welcome Center, and it's like going on a field trip to the whole world in one little
place. Where is this place?
It's in the Lafayette Square area at 38th and Lafayette Road.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants with Welcoming Week coming up here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Terry, in terms of this event, this is the first one Indianapolis has done. Could you talk a little bit about the cultural significance for the city of having an event like this?
Well, anyone who lives or visits Indianapolis regularly knows about the changing demographics of our city. And when we look back and see how our population has changed, right now 69,000 residents of Indianapolis, or 8.3% of Indianapolis residents, are actually foreign-born. That is up significantly from where we were even 15, 20 years ago. So with the numbers that continue to find Indianapolis and make Indianapolis their home, it's only natural that we as residents will want to reach out and welcome them as an extension of our own Hoosier hospitality, and to help them understand our culture and to learn about their culture. So we felt at the Immigrant Welcome Center, and with our partners at the Clues Fund, felt that this was a very worthy project for the Immigrant Welcome Center to take on, and started it earlier this year.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants to Central Indiana. My guests are Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson of the Immigrant Welcome Center. I am John Krall. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants to Central Indiana in advance of Welcoming Week next week. My guests are Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson, both of the Immigrant Welcome Center. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Before we went to the break, Terry, you were talking about the fact that we have seen the foreign-born population of Indianapolis change. And I'm presuming that an event like this, of Welcoming Week, isn't designed just to be, you know, a week that comes and goes and all of that. You want some sort of lasting impact out of it. What do you hope people will get out of this week and this experience of you know, having cultures come into contact with each other?
We really would wish to have more open dialogue between cultures. The whole goal of welcoming Indianapolis is to help neighbors get to know one another's as friends and neighbors, rather than someone strange or different, or someone that I don't think I'm going to be able to communicate with very clearly, so I'll just avoid any conversation with that person. Sometimes when the foreign-born move into neighborhoods, some of the native-born feel threatened by that. And so really welcoming Indianapolis, which is an ongoing project of the Immigrant Welcome Center, is designed to be able to bring them together in a very safe environment, to be able to get to know each other as friends, as neighbors, and to really learn to respect and work together.
And how, you know, you've made, sometimes people are, well, let's take a step back here. When somebody comes into this city and this culture, or from another country, another culture, what are the challenges that they face in terms of fitting in here and building a new life? Sarah, I'll start with you, but I'm going to let Terry take a crack at that one, too.
Okay. I would say, you know, to start with, of course, there are the major challenges that we all have, you know, getting employment, housing, you know, becoming financially secure. And these are things that if you're a refugee, the refugee resettlement agencies will help with when you first arrive here in Indianapolis. But beyond that, you know, there's finding friends outside of your, you know, usual group of people that you're with. So if you're Chin, you know, your other Chin neighbors and friends, finding those native-born relationships outside of that.
Engaging with a larger community and connecting with them. Terry, could you speak a little bit to what the challenges might be of coming here from a different culture? And I'd also like to take it to the point, do they vary from culture two cultures, since all of the cultures mm-hmm. are distinct and the places of origin might be distinct. Terry? Mm-hmm.
In my work with many immigrants and refugees, I have found that the issues are really the same, in that there are language and cultural barriers, just as if you and I were suddenly living in China or India and not being able to read the signs and feeling as though everything that we understand is now brand new. So we try to connect newcomers with our natural helpers or with other supports so that they feel supported and that they can ask questions in their own language and get to see Indianapolis as a city that values and respects everyone and one that is supportive of everyone and wants to see everyone succeed and thrive. So we will match our clients with natural helpers. We will help them find all the supports that they need.
Where do you find all of the folks? You say it's a place where people can come to ask questions in their own language and all of that. Mm-hmm. I would assume just finding the translating services is a bit of a challenge in and of itself.
That's one reason that we're so thankful to have 80 natural helpers who speak.
And I know you've been on the air before, yes. But we've used this term an awful lot. I know from the preview. Can you explain what a natural helper is?
I will. A natural helper is a volunteer of the Immigrant Welcome Center who helps to mentor other people from within that culture or from that ethnicity or speaks that language. Someone who is bilingual, who has been here longer, who is seen as the go-to person. And every immigrant or refugee community has one or two of those that others go to say, I don't understand this. Will you explain this to me? And they are people who are incredibly generous with their time and their talent and wanting to make sure that other people succeed here. So we lean very heavily on our volunteers, especially when we have requests for language and interpretation and translation services through schools or places of worship or other social supports when there are language barriers.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants to Central Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, in terms of the challenges that new arrivals have to adapting to, you know, the life and culture here, talked a little bit about that. What are some of the challenges on the other end? I mean, I guess another way to frame that would be how good a job do we do at welcoming new people to our community? Sarah, I'm going to let you take a crack at that one and then let Terry go too.
Yeah, I think for native born, a lot of times the one of the biggest issues to overcome is simply the shock of this change happening in your neighborhood. You know, your older neighbors are moving out and you're having new people come in who might not speak the same language that you do and might know a few words here and there. You know, that, and also there's also cultural issues to get over from the native born side, because people are coming in with their own culture and then trying to understand why they're doing certain things that, you know, we're not used to here, but they were used to in their home country. So trying to overcome some of those.
What are some of the flashpoints in that regard? I mean, the things that seem to provoke people mm-hmm. in this area, you know, who are native-born here.
Yeah, and this has been true throughout the entire city, not just one neighborhood. A lot of times it has to do, you know, with code violations. So where are you putting your trash? Not knowing that the trash goes in the garbage can and goes out to the street. You know, that you can't put the trash in the alley, that, you know, your dog has to be tied up and that it can't just be let running loose. A lot of times those are the most common issues that that come up, which, you know, of course, by bringing people together and having a discussion about it can often, you know, telling your neighbor, hey, you know, your dog has to be tied up, it can't just be running around the neighborhood, can solve the problem right there. So
presuming, of course, you can get past the language barrier. In some cases, which is a natural segue. Terry, I said I was going to give you a crack at that question, too, before I move on. I've got another one, but go ahead.
We have been asked to help facilitate some dialogues in some neighborhoods where there was misunderstanding of cultural norms when there were foreign-born residents in the same neighborhood. For instance, I remember one when they, one of our neighbors said they permit their kids to come over and play in my yard and play on our swing set, and they don't come in and ask permission. Well, in the country that these particular neighbors came from, it was very much a village where everyone watched one another's children, and it was culturally acceptable for your children to go over to the next place and play over there, with the understanding that the mother would watch the children while they were playing, and everyone was all the adults were supervising the children. And I felt like it was just one of those cultural misunderstandings where one of the mothers thought, it's okay for my kids to do this, and another mother said, I'd prefer that your children come to my door and ask permission to play on our swing set before they just get on. And you know, the conflict was resolved very quickly.
Are there conflicts, though, that are harder to resolve than that? I'll stay with you, Terry.
Certainly. There are always those conflicts that seem to go more deeply with the manners in which some of the foreign-born live their lives, and it seems to be more deep-seated in tensions between various cultures where it's more difficult to carry on dialogues. And we certainly have some of those tensions here in Indianapolis. But I also see lots and lots of people who welcome the multiculturalism of Indianapolis and really want to get involved and say, this is good for our city and this is good for our children to interact with children from many other different cultures. So we're trying to get everyone engaged in those welcoming Indianapolis conversations so that we all learn from one another.
We are talking about immigration, welcoming immigrants to Central Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, let's take this a step. Let's assume, you know, I'm native born and someone moves into my neighborhood from another country and culture. Make this instructive. What are some things I could do to make that person feel comfortable and, you know, feel welcomed into the community? Terry, I'll start with you and then go to Sarah.
I would say the first thing that you should do would be to introduce yourself as a new neighbor. They will likely have some English capability, if not be fully bilingual. So many times it's just an uneasiness about speaking with someone thinking they're not going to understand what I say. But go on and speak in English, and they'll understand some. Body language is a great way to communicate with people, and even just a smiling face would indicate, you know, that you want to befriend them. So beyond that, I would, you know, any way that you would welcome any other new neighbor, ask them if there's anything that you can help with. Did they have any questions about the way things operate here in our neighborhood, or, you know, perhaps invite them over to your house for a meal or a snack?
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
Yeah, a lot of times just a simple hello and a wave of the hand can go a long way into just, you know, opening that door for being friendly neighbors instead of just kind of strangers that happen to live next door to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to mention that I want to commend, actually, the work of the Immigrant Welcome Center, the work that Terry and Sarah, Rob, everyone else, Dulce at the Immigrant Welcome Center is fantastic for our community. particularly for race relations, for having a community that not only is it is informed about all of the different groups that are coming to our area, but also because they do a lot of collaboration with different groups that are already providing services to the constituency of Indianapolis. And I've had several interactions, many interactions with Immigrant Welcome Center, and I just want to make sure that they know how much they're appreciated. And I can't wait to use my coupon on the different restaurants that they're going to have participated on welcoming Indianapolis Week.
Yeah, so Terry is smiling right now, Patricia, because you gave her her cue to remind people about the coupons. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, the coupons, we probably that. I think that is your cue here, Terry or Sarah, whichever one of you.
On our website, we do have a wonderful coupon to be used during Welcoming Week at some of the immigrant-owned restaurants around Indianapolis, and we're really, really excited about this. This has caused a lot of buzz because people love to learn about new cultures through food. And so there are many, many different ethnicities represented. We have Abyssinia, which is a wonderful Ethiopian restaurant out on 38th Street. Spice Nation is Indian. We have several Indian restaurants, India Palace, Shalimar, Beautiful Shades is Caribbean. Safari is a Somali restaurant. We have a Guatemalan restaurant, Lebanese, Turkish, Cuban, and Mexican restaurant, all offering discounts or from 10 to 20%, so that can be used during Welcoming Week, September 14th through 22nd. So do visit our website at www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org and download your coupon to take to any or all of these restaurants.
Can they use more than one coupon?
I mean, yes. Yeah,
so they could hit every one of these restaurants.
Absolutely. We'd love for them to do that.
Of the week. Well, let me ask. It's sort of like the elephant in the room, obviously. Immigration now is a hot topic, and it has been kind of a divisive subject in our culture. Is part of the aim of this week to take some of the tension out of that discussion and, you know, remove it from the mm-hmm. realm of ideology and just try to get it so that it's people talking to each other? Terry, I'll start mm-hmm. with you.
Absolutely. We feel like once you know someone from a different land personally as a friend, generally your views toward immigration soften a little bit. And so this is just one of many, many ways that you can start to connect with different cultures and different people in Indianapolis that are all here. We all have the same goals and dreams for our families and for our success in our own lives. And I think once you start having conversations with people who are different from you, you realize how many more commonalities there are than differences. So that is really the whole idea behind Welcoming Indianapolis and Welcoming Week. And we would love for many, many people to participate, just get to know their new neighbors.
How much of this is also, I mean, there's obviously the part of the conversation here, the development of the relationship that says, okay, to the native born, you've got to be welcoming, you've got to be open and accepting of these differences. But presumably that's also got to be two-way, that you've mm-hmm. got to say, okay, the native-born here are going to have differences from the way
right.
you are used to. How difficult a task is that to get people who have often spent a good portion of their lives learning to do things one way mm-hmm. and then have to do another? Sarah.
Yeah, a lot of times it doesn't take people, you know, changing what they do or how they act. It's really just, you know, can be as simple as sitting down at dinner with, you know, your neighbor and talking about, you know, the things that you do have in common, you know, the school that your kids go to, and what do you like about Indianapolis? And a lot of times those bigger, you know, the ideological issues and the stuff that's kind of floating up in the clouds that are more about ideas and less about people, those things kind of end up not being the main focus of the conversation.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants here on No Limits. My guests are Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson of the Immigrant Welcome Center. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants in advance of Welcoming Week next week, which is actually a nationwide celebration, but there are Indianapolis-specific activities here dealing with immigration. My guests are Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson, both of the Immigrants Welcome Center. I want to ask, we had a listener, actually, who framed this question, didn't want to go on the air. How good a job do you think Indianapolis does of welcoming immigrants? Or is it one of those things where there are, say, a relatively small segment of the population, many of them, it sounds like, involved with the mm-hmm. Immigrant Welcome Center, mm-hmm. who carry the load? Or is it more becoming a community-wide effort? I'll start with Terry on that one.
I think we are a very welcoming community. It can be the tale of two cities, to be honest with you, because there are some that think the multicultural aspects of Indianapolis are very exciting and fun and are interested in learning and exploring different cultures through people who live here in Indianapolis. Others feel somewhat threatened by it, don't understand it, have some misperceptions about what immigrants or the foreign-born may receive from us. But by and large, I'm always touched when we are working with a client who says, I moved here because Indianapolis is such a friendly city, especially when they come from New York City or Chicago or some of the larger ones. They say, no one recognized me. I had no face. No one wanted to help me. And when I came here, people didn't just give you directions. They said, well, come on, I'll show you where that is. And they'll personally take me. And so I hear story after story from our clients and others that I know in the community who say, boy, is this town friendly, mm-hmm. and it's a place where I really want to live.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about welcoming immigrants here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Jill, welcome to the program.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have two questions for you. One is, live on the south side, and as you may know, there's a large population of Chin families that have come into the south side. I'm on the neighborhood watch, and as a watch captain, I'm responsible to disseminate, you know, crime information to families. And I find that it's difficult with the language barrier to relay that kind of information. Mm-hmm. Don't know if there's a resource for translation that could help. Maybe is, you know, if I want to disseminate something, I can, you know, put it in writing and hand it to them instead of trying to explain, you know, what recently happened in the neighborhood and what they should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about the Chin population and the explosion of the Chin population here on the south side of Indianapolis just a little while ago on the program. Terry, in terms of working through that language barrier, mm-hmm. what's the best way to do that?
Jill, thank you so much for being culturally competent and understanding that you know that there is a communication gap here that needs to be filled. If you would be kind enough to call us at the Immigrant Welcome Center, we will try to connect you with one of our volunteers who might be able to help you with some of those language barriers.
How should she do that? We give her a phone number
yes.
real quick.
It's 317-808-2326.
Okay. And then my second question is a little bit more difficult to ask. Because we have such a large Chin population on the south side, And I, you know, there a lot of the Southside neighborhoods are older neighborhoods, older people, mm-hmm. and that in itself can create, you know, different perceptions. And what I'm finding is that there's resentment growing on the Southside because people hear things, and I think that they may have misconceptions about the Chins and their, you know, their background. Why are they here? Why are so many on the Southside? Why are we, you know, people will say, oh, well, every single one of them, they all get, you know, $25,000 from the government for a new car, and they get free housing, and they get, you know, free food for a year. And they, so, you know, and I've tried to research what the actual benefits are so that I can, you know, dispel or, you know, at least speak from a factual standpoint with neighbors and, when this comes up, because there's resentment before the people, mm-hmm. before there's any hello.
Well,
and, you know, you don't want to start out that way.
Right.
Okay, we're going to try to get you an answer, but we probably, for the benefit of those who've just joined the program, tell them again who the Chin population is so that they don't think we're, you know, talking about something other than Terry.
There is a large population from Burma or Myanmar. Of refugees who are who have arrived in the United States at the invitation of the United States government because they were being persecuted, and they are mainly from the Chin state of Burma, and they are mainly Christian, which is one of the reasons that they were religiously being persecuted by the government and why they received refugee status. So they began coming to Indianapolis in the late 1990s. So they have been here for more than 10 years. And it's been successful enough that many of the Chin who were relocated to Fort Wayne or other cities in the Midwest have migrated to Indianapolis. And so our population grew from about 4,000 to about 8,000 in a very, very short amount of time. And some say there may be as many as 10,000 of the Chin on the south side in the Southport, Perry Township area.
We probably ought to speak, though, to Jill's question, too, which is some of the rumors about what brings them here, what services they get, and all of that.
We hear this a lot, too, and this is one of the ways that we would like to have the Welcoming Indianapolis project be able to work with those kind of resident concerns and dispel some of these misperceptions that they're, you know, on the government dole and they get, you know, free cars and free educations. They do receive some money from the U.S. State Department that is funneled through the Refugee Resettlement Agency. They also, both resettlement agencies also go about finding other grants to be able to meet all the needs. But I don't have the particular figures of what they receive. I think it's probably less than $1,900 per person. And I also like to tell people that they have to pay for their own airfare. They have to pay the government back for their trip to the United States, and they have about 2 years to pay that back. So they do receive some money for living expenses, but most of that funding ends once they have a job. So it's not nearly the amount that many people perceive them to receive.
It's really a small transitional fund, basically.
It's exactly what it is. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank
Good
you
question, very, Jill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call and the question, Jill.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Certainly. Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind? Sorry, we've lost Amy. Okay, well, in terms of the, what are some of the other misperceptions that that come with this immigration debate? And I guess I'd like to ask in a larger thing, you know, so much of when we talk about immigration now, is framed in the, you know, really politically divisive argument about undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And at least as I read, what you're trying to do with Welcoming Week, it's to remind people that this is a much larger subject than that fairly narrow slice of it. Does it frustrate you at all that this discussion is focused on just that rather narrow piece? Sarah, I'll start with you, since you're nodding your head at me right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a frustrating issue to overcome, especially when, you know, you hear a lot of the same questions over and over regarding, you know, what kind of benefits are they receiving and those types of misconceptions. But I just lost my train of thought.
Well, how frustrating it is when you're dealing with the question, because obviously you're committed to believing that immigration, you know, revitalizes a culture and a community.
Right.
And yet, you know, so much of our discussion is about the things that are being taken away. Terry, does that make you a little bit crazy?
Yes. We hear very regularly, you know, immigrants are taking jobs from Americans, when all of the data supports that actually immigrants create jobs for Americans because they are extremely entrepreneurial and willing to take many risks in starting new businesses, which invigorate many neighborhoods in Indianapolis. So we have been working on trying to make sure that people understand the facts around immigration and all the benefits of having a multicultural city.
We are talking about welcoming immigrants here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Terry. I'm at Ralph. This is Brian Richards.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I recognize your voice.
I had a comment and then a question. First of all, a comment. One subtle indication to me that our city is becoming not only more welcoming, but also more conscious of people who have come from other countries. My wife was originally from another part of the world, and when we first moved here, mm-hmm. almost invariably the first question one would ask in a conversation is, where are you from? Nowadays, that question actually doesn't come up very often, and my interpretation of it is that people see her less as a category and more as a person. And I think that when we see people talking face-to-face and they don't wonder so much, well, are you supposed to be here? It just demonstrates to me a more welcoming atmosphere. And my question is, in your involvement with immigrants, what you do to encourage or educate those who are fairly new here to become involved civically, such as getting involved with nonprofit organizations, or government entities, so that they can be more of a part of the process of decision-making and community involvement. I'll take myself off the air, but thanks for your time, guys.
Great, thank you. Thanks for the call, Brian. Well, in terms of that whole civic engagement, the fitting in, I mean, what activities, what ways do you prepare them to A, take advantage of those opportunities, depending on your perspective, or meet those responsibilities?
Well, each year we partner with several other immigrant and refugee serving organizations in presenting quarterly workshops with representatives of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services to be able to understand how to procure a green card or lawful permanent resident status, or for those who already have that status to become U.S. citizens, because these are questions that we get asked very, very regularly. So we are thrilled to death that during Welcoming Week, the Nationalities Council will be hosting one of those workshops with representatives of USCIS from 6 to 7:30 on next Tuesday, the 17th.
Amy, welcome back.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you for being persistent and calling back. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question. I was calling because I know you all talked about the Natural Helper program a little bit earlier in the program, but I'm a trainer for the Natural Helper program at the Immigrant Welcome Center, and just wanted to comment about how helpful it's been to have that program. I used to work for the Indianapolis Neighborhood Resource Center, and we use Natural Helpers in neighborhoods all over the city to help make connections between people that have lived there for years and people that were just moving into the community. So I just wanted to call and comment about how helpful that program is and tell Terry that I cannot wait for to go and eat some of the good food with those coupons.
Thanks very much for the call. Thanks for your persistence, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, in terms of finding these natural helpers, I mean, how do you identify them and find them? I mean, do they come to you, or do you have to go out and search for them?
When we started the program, we did. We had to go out and knock on a lot of doors, and to identify those communities that really needed the support of a natural helper, and as well as to find the person within those communities who would most be likely to become our natural helper.
If someone wants to become a natural helper, how should she or he do that?
Thank you. He or she should contact our program director, whose name is Dulce Vega, and Dulce can be reached at 317-808-2326. We will be doing another training with Amy and some of the other people who help us train our natural helpers in the fall. And we do have some specific language needs. So I would encourage...
What are some of the specific language needs?
We are looking to have some additional Somali natural helpers. And we are also looking for those who speak Mandarin Chinese and Korean. So if you need, if you speak any of those languages and are bilingual and have time to volunteer to help others in your community become successful in Indianapolis, please give Dulce a call.
Well, and we're getting close on time here. So what I'm going to toss this back to Sarah. And since the premise here is that we're talking about Welcoming Week, if people want to find out more information about Welcoming Week, where should they go?
Yeah, please visit our website at www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org. And there you can find you can download the activity guide, and you can also print out the coupon. And we're also on Facebook, so if you look up Welcoming Indianapolis, you can find us there, and we'll be updating the week's events on there as well.
Which of the events, I'm going to ask a kind of personal question to the two of you, which of the week's events are each of you looking most forward to? Sarah, you go first.
I'm personally most excited for the International Picnic and Party at Indy Urban Acres, which is on Friday the 20th. To try new foods and listen to a couple different bands. So that'll be fun.
Okay. And Terry, how about you?
I'm really excited about the conversation plus food equals diverse connections.
I'm sensing a motif here. The food thing.
Well, our friend,
to the two of you.
It's really a lesson in cultural competency with food as well. So there's some interactive activities. It's a great way to understand how other cultures communicate. That'll be at Big Car Service Center on Wednesday, September 18th at 6 p.m.
We have been talking about welcoming immigrants to Central Indiana in advance of Welcoming Week. I'd like to thank my guests, Terry Morris Downs and Sarah Johnson. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.